And welcome to the Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Ancient American Indian skull is found on a development site in New York State. Museum reveals rare Iron Age spoons found in Shropshire in England. Finds on the Scottish island of Barra date back to the Bronze Age. And there's proof that an ancient tsunami that devastated the Mediterranean may have dated back 8,000 years. A snake carving in Botswana may be the first signs of worship for Homo sapiens. And illegal looters are smashing ancient Iranian artifacts in Luristan. The mystery of ancient astronomical calculator is unveiled, and there's an early 16th century sketch of Stonehenge found in a book in France. Is there a 2,000-year-old road under threat in Ohio or not? That's the question. And finally, an Iron Age Orkney fir farm. The clues are there to be found. Archaeologists surveying a property earmarked for a suburban housing development in New York State in USA have discovered an ancient American Indian skull. The Suffolk County Medical Examiner's Office determined that the skull dates back to between 1,000 to 3,000 years. The skull was given to the Shinnecock Indian Nation in nearby Southampton for reburial, the town of Southampton police said. The town requires archaeologists to study land from American Indian artifacts and features before development can take place because of the centuries-old history of the Shinnecock tribe on the shores of eastern Long Island outside New York City. There's only 25 of them in the world, and it's been 80 years since anyone found some before these turned up. What are these rare artifacts? They are mysterious bronze spoons, almost always found in pairs, dating back from between 800 to 100 BCE. And Shrewsbury Museum in Shropshire, England, is now the proud owner of the most recently discovered set. Local metal detectorist Trevor Brown found the spoons in mid-Shropshire in 2005 and immediately reported them to the Portable Antiquities Scheme. Archaeologists recognised the spoons as coming from the Iron Age, but what they were used for is still uncertain. One of the spoons is decorated with a carved cross bearing a circle at the centre, while the other is plain but torn where there was once a perforation. They may have had ritual or divinatory purpose. Perhaps liquid was dripped from one to the other, predicting the future, or their function could have been more prosaic. Whichever the case, these are enigmatic items. Declared treasure, the Shropshire spoons were purchased by Shrewsbury Museum Service and are on display for the first time from December 1, 2006. They can be seen at Shrewsbury Museum until December 22nd, along with other recent purchases, donations and loaned items dating to the Iron Age. Peter Revo, Finds Liaison Officer for Shropshire and Herefordshire, runs regular Finds Identification Days at Shrewsbury Museum. Contact the museum for more information if you'd like to consult him, or see the Portable Antiquities Scheme website for details, or check Badger Who's Who directory, now available on your mobile from anywhere on the world. Just connect to www.bajr.org/mobile. Human remains discovered on Barra in the Western Isles of Scotland exactly a year ago have been confirmed as dating from nearly 4,000 years ago. After many months of investigation by Historic Scotland, the AOC Archaeology Group and local archaeologists, the final data has been compiled, which concludes that the bones all date to between 1880 and 1490 BCE. Initially discovered by Barra artist Moira Bard, the bones were exposed near Allisdale on the west side of the island, a site which has long been considered of archaeological interest. Having been reported to the local authority, the bones were formally identified as being human by a local doctor, and then a team of experts arrived on the island to investigate. Describing the final conclusions of the project, Western Isles archaeologist Mary MacLeod, who initiated the investigation, said that the team excavated four small stone-lined graves, which contained the remains of 13 individuals, of all ages from newborn babies upwards. It may well have been a family cemetery. The dates are 1880 to 1490 BCE, which is the Bronze Age, and although no metal finds were made, there were the remains of two pots from the graves, and more stray finds from the area included a stone axe, hammer stones, pottery and bone tools. A spokesperson for Historic Scotland explained how they fund a human remains call-out contract, currently held by AOC Archaeology, as a support for local archaeologists who can then call for help in dealing with sites where human remains are exposed. The contract rescues archaeological information from eroding sites and at the same time addresses local concerns about exposing human remains. And looking to the future, Mary McLeod added that the local authority would continue to monitor the site and speak to the community about what action they would like to be taken. A volcanic avalanche in Sicily 8,000 years ago triggered a devastating tsunami taller than a 10-story building that spread across the entire Mediterranean Sea, slamming into the shores of three continents in only a few hours. The Mount Etna avalanche sent 6 cubic miles of rock and sediment tumbling into the water, enough material to cover the entire island of Manhattan in a layer of debris thicker than the Empire State Building is tall. The mountain of rubble crashed into the water at more than 200 miles an hour. It then pounded the seabed, transforming thick layers of soft marine sediment into a jelly and triggering an underwater mudslide that flowed for hundreds of miles. To create their computer simulation, researchers at the National Institute of Geology and Volcanology in Italy used sonar equipment boats to survey seafloor sediment displaced by the Mount Etna avalanche. Their recreation suggests that the tsunami waves reached heights of up to 40 metres and a maximum speed of 720 kilometres an hour, making it more powerful than the Indonesian tsunami that killed more than 180,000 people in 2004. The researchers have also linked the ancient tsunami with the mysterious abandonment of Atlit Yam, a Neolithic village located along the coast of present-day Israel. When archaeologists discovered the village about 20 years ago, they found evidence of a sudden evacuation, including a pile of fish that had been gutted and sorted, but then left to rot. If the same tsunami struck today, southern Italy would be inundated within 15 minutes. In 1 hour, the waves would reach Greece's western coasts, and after 1.5 hours, the city of Benghazi in northern Africa would be hit. At the 3.5 hour mark, the waves would have traversed the entire Mediterranean to reach the coasts of Israel, Lebanon and Syria. Avalanches and minor eruptions still occur on Mount Etna today, but so far nothing approaching the magnitude of this ancient 8,000-year event. Should this Neolithic Etna tsunami have occurred today, the impact would be tremendous because of the eastern Mediterranean's coasts now being densely inhabited. A new archaeological find in Botswana shows that our ancestors in Africa engaged in ritual practice 70,000 years ago, 30,000 years earlier than the oldest finds in Europe. This sensational discovery strengthens Africa's position as the cradle of modern man. Associate Professor Shira Coulson from the University of Oslo can now show that modern humans, Homo sapiens, have performed advanced rituals in Africa for at least 70,000 years. In other words, she has discovered mankind's oldest known rituals. The archaeologist made the surprising discovery while she was studying the origin of the San people. A group of the San live in the sparsely inhabited area of northwestern Botswana, known as Ngama Land. Coulson made the discovery while searching for artifacts from the Middle Stone Age in the only hills present for hundreds of kilometres in any direction. This group of small peaks within the Kalahari Desert is known as the Tsodilo Hills. It's also famous for having the largest concentration of rock paintings in the world. The Tsodilo Hills are still a sacred place for the San, who call them the Mountains of the Gods and the Rocks that Whisper. The python is one of the San's most important animals. Sheila Coulson's finds show that people from the area had specific ritual location associated with the python. The ritual was held in a little cave on the northern side of the Tsodilo Hills. The cave itself is so secluded and access to it so difficult that it was not even discovered by archaeologists until the 1990s. When Coulson entered the cave this summer with her three master students, it struck them that the mysterious rock resembled the head of a huge python. On the 6x2 meter rock, they found 300 to 400 indentations that could only have been man-made. They found no evidence that work had recently been done on the rock. In fact, much of the rock's surface was extensively eroded. When they saw the many indentations or cut marks in the rock, the archaeologists decided to dig a testbit directly in front of the Python stone. At the bottom of the trench, they found many stones that had been used to make these indentations. Together with these tools, some of which were more than 70,000 years old, they found a piece of the wall that had fallen off during the work. In the course of their excavation, they found more than 13,000 artifacts. All of the objects were spearheads and articles that could be connected with ritual use, as well as tools used to carve the stone itself. The stones that the spearheads were made from were not even from this region, but must have been brought from hundreds of kilometres away. Stone Age people took these colourful spearheads, brought them to the cave, and then finished carving them there. Only the red spearheads were then burned. It was obviously a ritual destruction of the artifact. There was no signs of normal habitation, no ordinary tools were found on the site, and these finds mean that humans were more organized and had the capacity for abstract thinking at a much earlier point in history than we have previously assumed. Sheila also noticed a secret chamber behind the Python stone. Some areas of the entrance to this small chamber were worn smooth, indicating that many people had passed through them over the years. A shaman could have kept himself hidden in that secret chamber. He would have had a good view of the inside of the cave while remaining hidden himself. When he spoke from his hiding place, it could have seemed as if the voice came from the snake. Archaeological excavations in the 3,000-year-old cemetery of Baba Jalan in western Iranian province of Luristan had to be put off due to heavy rains and snows in the mountainous regions of the province where the ancient cemetery is located. This is sadly while illegal diggers continue to destroy a large number of ancient relics which proliferate in the cemetery. A few weeks ago, a group of archaeologists were dispatched by Iran's Archaeological Research Center to the Iron Age Cemetery of Baba Jalan to study the area and prevent further plundering of the site by illegal diggers. However, after only 18 days during which the archaeologists were busy collecting the broken pieces of bronze artifacts dug out by the illegal diggers, they had to return since heavy blizzards made continuation of their work almost impossible. The Iron Age cemetery has many times been plundered by illegal diggers who have no training in how an artifact must be unearthed without being damaged. In addition, many of ancient relics unearthed by the smugglers that are not taken to be sold are ruined once they come into contact with the air for too long. Since large numbers of artifacts found in Luristan's historic sites are made of bronze, they easily oxidize, corrode and crumble to dust after only a few days of exposure to the open air. Since Baba Jalan Cemetery is located in a mountainous area with an average slope of 65 degrees, natural conditions make it difficult for archaeologists to carry out their activities. During the short period they were excavating the cemetery, each time a trench was made, it was quickly washed away by rains. Therefore, they could only collect broken artifacts left by illegal diggers and looters to be studied later in laboratories. The Iron Age Cemetery is now under the protection of local guards. Known for their exquisite bronze objects, mostly dated to the 1st millennium BC, Luristan's historic sites are considered unique in Iran. An international team has unravelled the secrets of a 2,000-year-old computer which could transform the way we think about the ancient world. Professor Mike Edmonds and Dr. Tony Freeth of Cardiff University led the team who believe they have finally cracked the workings of the Antikythera mechanism, a clock-like astronomical calculator dating from the 2nd century BCE. The remains of the device were first discovered in 1902 when archaeologist Valerio Stais noticed a heavily corroded gear wheel among artifacts recovered by sponge divers from a sunken Roman cargo ship. A further 81 fragments have since been found, containing a total of 30 hand-cut bronze gears. The largest fragment has 27 cogs. Researchers believe these would have been housed in a rectangular wooden frame with two doors covered in instructions for its use. The complete calculator would have been driven by a hand crank. Although its origins are uncertain, the new studies of the inscriptions suggest it would have been constructed around 100 to 150 BCE, long before such devices appear in other parts of the world. The new research suggests it is more sophisticated than anyone had ever previously thought. Using non-invasive imaging systems, such as three-dimensional X-ray microfocus computed tomography, The team was able to take detailed pictures of the device and uncover new information. Detailed work on the gears in the mechanism showed that it was able to track astronomical movements with remarkable precision. The calculator was able to follow the movements of the Moon and the Sun through the zodiac, predict eclipses, and even recreate the irregular orbit of the Moon. The team believe it may also have predicted the positions of some, if not all, of the planets. The findings suggest that the Greek technology was far more advanced than previously thought. No other civilization is known to have created anything as complicated as this for over another 1,000 years. The mechanism is in over 80 pieces and stored in precisely controlled conditions in Athens where it cannot be touched. Recreating its workings was a difficult, painstaking process involving astronomers, mathematicians, computer experts, script analysts, and conservation experts. The researchers now hoping to create a computer model of how the machine worked and in time a full working replica. It is still uncertain what the ancient Greeks used the mechanism for or how widespread this technology was. One of the remaining mysteries is why the Greek technology invented for the machine seems to have disappeared. No other civilization is believed to have created anything as complex until the 17th century AD. One explanation could be that the bronze was often recycled in the period the device was made, so many artifacts from that time would have long ago been melted down and erased from the archaeological record. The fateful sinking of the ship carrying the Antikythera mechanism may have inadvertently preserved it. They got the date wrong by some 3,000 years, but the oldest detailed drawings of Stonehenge, apparently based on first-hand observation, have turned up in a 15th century manuscript. The little sketch is a bird's-eye view of the stones, showing the great trilithons, the biggest stones in the monument, each made of two pillars capped with a third stone lintel, which stand in a horseshoe in the centre of the main circle. Only three are now standing, but the drawing, found in northern France, suggests that in the 15th century, four of the original five were surviving. In the Scala Mundi, the Chronicle of the World, Merlin is given credit for building Stonehenge between 480 and 486 AD, when the Latin text says he, not by force but by art, brought and erected the giant's ring from Ireland. Modern science now suggests that the stones went up from 2,500 BCE, with the bluestone outer circle somehow transported from West Wales, and the double-decker bus-sized Sarsen stones dragged 30 miles across the Salisbury Plain. The drawing, recently identified by the art historian Christian Heck, has never been exhibited, but it will now be seen next year in an exhibition at the Royal Academy in London, marking the 300th anniversary of the Society of Antiquaries. There are two earlier images of Stonehenge, one in the British Museum and one in the Parker Library in Cambridge, but this drawing is unique in attempting to show how the monument was actually built. Incorrectly showing tenon joints piercing the lintel, a timber construction technique, although in fact the real Stonehenge tenons only go partly into the top stone. Plans for an extension of a road in Ohio in the USA are underway, but national magazine coverage has stirred up tension between developers and an archaeologist. Bradley Lepper of the Ohio Historical Society said the remnants of a 2,000-year-old road might be present on the two 300-acre sites. It may be the only remnants of what is called the Great Hopewell Road. The Heath Newark Licking County Port Authority, a developer of one of the sites, is not convinced. Rick Platt, executive director of the authority, said he is concerned the story in the September issue of Indian Country Today will dredge up unjustified concerns about the handling of the property. He said the magazine incorrectly wrote the Port Authority has plans to destroy the historic site. He said he fears the recent rash of media attention will create a dangerous precedent in which theories, not facts, can disrupt a development. Platt added, there was actually no proof the ancient road existed. Lepper said Platt misunderstands exactly what theories are, and went on to explain that theories are scientific instruments created by sets of facts that suggest plausibility. Platt, however, said that nothing was actually found after an archaeological survey was conducted by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the Ohio Historic Preservation Office, and a private cultural resources management firm. After Lepper's suggestion that the best way to find the road was to cut across section of potential sites, Platt said that the digging was actually now all done, and nothing had been found. And if it's 60 miles long and 200 feet wide, then where the hell is it? However, he added, if any remains of the road were found during the development of the property, the Port Authority would of course make sure it was preserved. Iron Age man reared foxes to make fur trim clothes, archaeologists now believe. Experts say that pelts were used to make sought-after fur trim coats, other items of clothing, and blankets. Researchers at York University found that foxes flourished on Orkney in Scotland during the late Iron Age, but there were none on the Outer Hebrides or Shetland, suggesting they were introduced into Orkney specifically. The study concludes that foxes were brought to the island because their fur was valued more highly than that of the indigenous species. However, the creatures disappeared soon after the Vikings invaded, around 800 CE. The discovery was made while studying animal bones at ancient settlement sites. Badgers are also believed to have been trophies and used by the islanders. The authors say that this could be evidence of the earliest example of fur farming in Scotland. Co-author Eva Fernell said that humans must have been taking foxes to Orkney. Fox fur had a high prestige, and it may have been an accessory or some sort of fashionable trim. Well, on that warming story, can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK heritage calendar, library and guidance section can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. We now also have a training section with courses and short training days. Badger will also hopefully be bringing you online archaeology courses during 2007. Remember that more can always be found at Stone Pages as well, news.stonepages.com. Thanks very much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return again to us next week.